This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dara here. Yeah, we are totally about all the news and all the talk today. I am excited about this. This is my last official State Fair live broadcast of 2018. We got a good one. I have a legit big newsmaker. Dean Phillips is here. Dean Phillips is running for Congress in the 3rd District. We're going to talk all about it later on the show. I've also got Gary Werdish, the president of the Minnesota Farmers Union. Hank Hanton from Shanghai Henry's is celebrating 30 years selling things at the fair. And Mama D's, Destiny herself from the Midtown Global Market. So you think that we do not have important news as well as BLTs, barbecue, and Shanghai Henry tacos, you'd be wrong. So here's what we're going on. All right, I am very excited to talk to Dean Phillips. He's running for Congress in Minnesota's 3rd District, and he is, if I am not mistaken, the very first politician we have ever had on Off the Menu, because you, sir, are the first politician who comes out of the same world I live in, where people work in hospitality, they make food, they make drink. You founded Penny's Coffee Shops and Talenti Gelato. You grew up working your family distilling company, Phillips, which I have toured and written about, all kinds of things I got to talk about. And you kind of came into this family out of a newborn in tragedy when your dad died in Vietnam. So all kinds of interesting stuff to talk about. Dean Phillips, welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here, Dara. Thank you.
I am so happy to be here. You're the only person who's ever run for anything where I've just known you forever. I remember I profiled this guy who worked for you. His name is Jim Onney, still works for you. He's the inventor of root beer schnapps. He's worked for Phillips Distilling for 45 years. And he showed me when I was up there kind of walking through the factory, seeing how he did everything, going into the flavor lab, this video that you had made for him. And this was 5 years ago, celebrating his 40th anniversary, kind of joshing around in the company. And he was so proud of it and so tickled, and it was so amusing. And then here you are actually running for Congress.
And Jim Onney is one of the most spectacular people you could ever possibly meet. His father worked for Phillips from the 1930s to the 60s. And Jim is a prototypical, earnest, extraordinary Minnesotan. I'm so glad you covered him because he's a remarkable guy. And he also is the chairman of the Ham Lake Conservatives for Dean Phillips for Congress. So that's a big shout out to Jim. And says a lot about our campaign.
It does. It's a. I think it's just astonishing that there's a family that has kind of worked in this community on that ground level for so long. A lot of people, I think, are just starting to pay attention to the congressional races right now. So let's talk about who you are. You were not really born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but then you were, but then you weren't. Tell me about your bio dad and about, you know, your family when you were tiny.
Sure. Well, my parents met at St. Paul Central High School in the early 1960s. My dad, Artie, grew up poor in St. Paul. My grandfather, Victor, died when he was about 10 years old. My grandma, Ruth, raised him as a single mother. He wanted to go to the University of Minnesota for school, couldn't afford it, so he earned an ROTC scholarship. Went to Vietnam as a captain in the U.S. Army about 2 years, before, 2 months before I was born, and he was killed in action when I was 6 months old. And my mom was 24 and widowed, and we lived with my great-grandparents in St. Paul for the first 2.5 years of my life. And when I was about 3, my mom remarried Eddie Phillips, a remarkable dad who adopted me into the Phillips family, and I'm a lucky guy, and I recognize that, and that's why it's a responsibility to share as much opportunity as humanly possible, because I've lived on both sides of advantage. And I was raised in a family, Dara, that taught me to measure success not by how much we collect, rather by how much we share. And that's a core principle.
And kind of those early years, grandmothers were a big part of your life. You live with your grandparents. And then, dear Abby, this was shocking to me. You grew up like with the real Dear Abby.
I did. Yeah, she was my grandmother, and I had an extraordinary collection of grandparents and great grandparents. And equally remarkable. And but I'm not here to give you advice, so don't worry. I'm here to seek it. She was amazing, and I would visit her in a beautiful home in California, and I'd visit my grandma Ruth in a public housing apartment building in St. Paul. And those disparities really affected me as a young guy, and probably even more so now as a 49-year-old father of two daughters myself.
All right, so yeah, let's talk about that, because one of the things that I'm a mom, I've got kids, I know what it's like to, you know, think about health insurance and have that feeling of like, oh, if we got sideswiped by a drunk driver, everything would be done. Like, you know, our health insurance would be destroyed. We'd probably get one of those crazy bills where they're like, oh, you're responsible for $100,000. You know, so everybody I know lives in this world where health insurance kind of dictates how we live. It causes so much fear. But you are one of the only people I know who's run for something who lived in that world. Your daughter got really sick. You were there. You were that dad in the waiting room knowing about that.
Yeah, I was. My daughter Pia was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma about 4 years ago, and she survived and, in fact, converted that challenge into something really remarkable. She started a nonprofit organization called PABSPAX. She and her friend Abby Nelson, who has diabetes, stuffed these beautiful little backpacks that they designed and hand them out to kids at children's hospitals. But it's the worst moment a parent can go through, as you well know, and we were very fortunate. And she recognizes, too, how lucky we were to be in a position where we had insurance that would take care of most of it. But I talked to people who don't have those circumstances. A woman yesterday in Coon Rapids who, like you just said, were one illness away from bankruptcy. I met a couple in Minnetonka a couple weeks ago who has to spend $4,500 a month out of pocket for the care of the husband who was diagnosed with early stage Alzheimer's. Some people that can't afford insurance at all. And we're a better country than that. And I think it's time to make the moral decision to ensure that every American has access to affordable health care when he or she needs it, no matter your age, your income, your condition, or your geography. We're the only nation in the world, developed nation in the world, that chooses not to do so. And we can do better than that. We need more people in Congress who are willing to get to work and forego all the special interest money that keeps this terrible status quo in place.
One of the things that drives me crazy about the health insurance debate in this country is that it only goes to that sort of compassion, which I'm very, I'm all about compassion. I have compassion. It goes to either compassion or then the flip side of that is always, we can't afford it. You can't afford that. And then you're having this kind of irresolvable push and pull between being a good person and being a fiscally responsible person. No one ever makes the case for the economic advantages to the culture, to the economy of having health insurance, right? No one ever talks about it as if you had health insurance, you could go out and start your own business. If you had health insurance, you could turn that side hustle into a bigger thing. Like, are you going to be the person who's going to make the positive economic argument for health insurance as a thing that will release money and freedom and make the economy better?
Well, Dara, if I have the honor of serving the 3rd District in Congress, the answer is yes. I'm going to give it my best. I can't make a promise that I can do it alone, but I'm going to be a very vocal advocate. And first of all, this nation can afford that, and it is about the choices we make. We pay twice as much for our health care than any developed country in the entire world. Our outcomes are mid-pack. The fact of the matter is that tens of billions of dollars are removed from the table in the form of profits that I believe should be kept in the system. If we negotiate pharmaceutical pricing on behalf of Medicare, we will save tens of billions of dollars. If we change the care delivery model in this country, so we stop rewarding procedures and hospitalizations, instead reward prevention and quality.
Oh, yeah, sick care. That drives me crazy.
We have a sick care system. We don't have a health care system. And this is not rocket science. But it takes people in Congress who are not beholden to special interests that want to maintain the status quo. So the answer is yes. It's not going to be easy. But I think through hard work and collaboration and conversation and listening, we can get there, because it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, anything in between. We all will suffer a health crisis at some point in our lives. And I think this country should be one that makes the choice to make sure everybody's taken care of.
And it's also a farming issue, right? The number one reason that people have off-farm jobs, and most small farmers have someone in the family with an off-farm job, is for that health insurance.
For insurance, absolutely. And I own a small business. We provide a health care plan for our full-time employees, and I'm proud of that. But as any small business owner in this country knows, it would be so wonderful to have an option available to our part-time employees that is affordable, accessible, easy to understand. And that's why I'm an advocate for expanding Medicare as a buy-in option for everybody in this country. To compete with, I don't want to put private insurers out of business or nonprofit insurers, but I believe in the Republican notion of choice and the Democratic notion of ensuring that everybody's taken care of. And I think this is one wonderful way that small businesses like Penny's, that I operate along with my partner Ben Hertz, can actually do that and make this country a much more wonderful place with more opportunity for more people.
And I don't understand why we don't talk about it also in terms of American competitiveness. You know, it's like we're manufacturing in this country. We're, you know, factoring in our crazy healthcare costs into the price of the goods, where we're just throw it out there fighting against Canada or something, where they are not putting those crazy costs into their goods.
And that's why we have to, nobody in Congress is talking about how to address the cost of care in this country. I have some experience serving on the board and chairing the board of Allina Health System, which owns Abbott Northwestern and a number of the wonderful hospitals in our community. I have a very good sense of what is wrong with the way that we currently reward and reimburse health systems. We can do a whole lot better, but we, like I said earlier, we need people going to Congress who are there to do the work on behalf of all of us rather than doing the bidding of special interests.
Yeah, it's kind of part of my mission as a food writer is to get everybody to broaden the food conversation. A food conversation is not just about, like, how good is this BLT? That's important. But if you can't support the farmers, if the chef behind the counter can't, pay for his kid's cancer treatment. All of these things create food culture. And this is just me being nuts, but like I truly believe that part of the reason that we have such great food cultures in places like France is a stability, just the simple reliability of everything around them. And part of that is the healthcare system. And people are always asking me, like, why did this spectacular restaurant close? Everybody loved it. You know, and you can't really disclose people's personal stuff that you know about, but a lot of the time it's because of a healthcare crisis.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it destroys families. And again, we can do better. And this is not a political issue. It is not a conservative or liberal issue. It's a human issue and it's an American issue. And I think change is coming on November 6th and we're going to start taking some strides. And by the way, speaking of BLTs and farmers, I got to do a shout out to the Farmers Union because that BLT that Birchwood created with them is spectacular, everybody. If you haven't tried that BLT, run on down to the Farmers Union booth right now.
It's so good. It's locally milled flowers, locally grown tomato, locally raised pork. I mean, for the bacon, everything about it is just like right on point, and that thing is delicious. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Dean Phillips, who's running for Congress in Minnesota's 3rd District. We're going to talk about some more stuff that you may think, like, that's not exactly a food thing. But I'm going to tell you, it is exactly a food thing. We'll have more of it when we come back. Dara here. Oh, we are at the State Fair. It is a beautiful day. It's a little muggy. People are eddying back and forth. It's the funniest view that you get from the State Fair, which is that people literally look like a river. Like, everyone's in the street, and they're going one way or the other, and you kind of have this feeling like, oh, we could just literally people watch. Like, it's a delightful, delightful place to be. Okay, so I have all the best people on the show today. I've got Destiny from Mama D's at the Midtown Global Market. I've got Hank Hanton from Shanghai Henry's, Gary Wordish from the Farmers Union, and Dean Phillips. So Dean Phillips is running for Congress in Minnesota's 3rd District, the first politician we've had on Off the Menu, because I am firmly convinced that everything that people think is not a food issue is, in fact, a food issue.
And I'm not a politician. I want to be a representative.
Oh, yeah, that's what you'd be. If you can represent, like, the people of Minneapolis who drink coffee and work, because that would be, like, mainly, most. You know, I was telling you in the green room, Penny's, and I shouldn't say this on the air, but I'm saying it anyway, so your coffee shop that you founded, you started downtown, and you've gone to some new location and possibly another location, but that's kind of my hideout. Like, that's when the phone is ringing too much and I'm on deadline and things need to get done, I go and I kind of put my head down.
Now you just gave it away, though. Now everybody's going to find you down at Penny's in downtown.
Maybe people don't know when that will be. I don't know. But it's one of the things I love about Restaurant World. It's hospitality. It makes you, like, a not fancy person feel valued and loved. Like, I don't have to have Koch brothers money to go into Penny's and have someone be nice to me. And so I'm bringing up the Koch brothers. I put your name into Google yesterday just to make sure, like, what's going on. I know what's happening. And you're on a hit list. So the Koch brothers, and I don't know if you ever read that book, Dark Money, The Hidden History of the Billionaires Behind the Rise of the Radical Right, Jane Meyer book. It is the most chilling, the most disturbing, the most, like, put your pillow over your head and go under the bed and stay there book. It is so scary. And those people have targeted you. You're on their hit list.
Yeah, what a badge of honor.
This is what I think of the Koch brothers. I think they're hoarders. Like, I think that they're weird hoarders of money. I don't understand why we don't, as a culture, like, say, like, oh, they want to hoard their money, then they want to hide it in Panama, and then they want to die with their money intact. Like, how is this a value, an American value? Like, this is, they're scary. There's a movie coming out about them.
Dark Money on September 7th at the Lagoon Theater.
I'm
big, big day. And, you know, Dara, it embodies exactly what's wrong with our entire political finance system. And it happens on both sides of the aisle. It's why I've invited Eric Paulson, the current congressman in the 3rd District, to sign what I call the Minnesota Way Pledge, which would get rid of all the PAC money and all the special interest money, all self-funding, and all the outside money that's spent in this race. And by the way, races across the country. About two-thirds of what might be spent just in the 3rd District alone will be from outside interests that have no interest in ours. And it could be $20 million just in the next 60 days, whether it's dark money or the PAC money or federal lobbyist money. It's what controls Congress. We have a Congress that's bought and sold.
Or money coming from outside foreign powers into pockets of people like Paul Manafort. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, we have a culture of corruption that is pervasive and has got to be addressed. And my opponent, Eric Paulson, is the 6th biggest taker of special interest money in the entire U.S. Congress and 20 years ago, wrote legislation right here in Minnesota that would have banned PAC money and special interest money from elections. And it's really appalling, and it has got to change. And I hope to be the one that at least gets us in that direction.
And this, I am of the little people. I'm a mom who has kids. Like, you know, to face a world in which you need that much money to make America work the way we think it's supposed to work, with everyone's potential being realized, it can feel so hopeless. And you think that campaign finance reform is possible.
It is possible, but it's a collective responsibility. I believe it's time to return power to the people. We have a country in which almost 50% choose not to vote. Let's re-engage and let's recommit to be part of this process. Everybody does matter. I understand, though, why so many feel that their vote doesn't count anymore, why their voice is unheard. It's because we have a political finance system that encourages bad behavior. We talked about healthcare. Our healthcare reimbursement structure encourages the wrong behavior. We just need simple redesigns of our current systems, and a lot can change for the better. And that's my proposition. We're going to be a better country when we get back to it.
All right, well, this is what I feel that I feel like all of us in food need. The system has become, like, more and more stacked against people that just want to, like, have a pizza, raise their children, get coffee, make their work, you know, finished. Like, and to get things back into balance, I you know, do anything I can to make that happen.
And we have to, and small businesses, you know, like Penny's, you know, we made the decision to pay everybody a $15 minimum wage plus tips, so a lot of our staff earn over $20 an hour, so that they can have a chance to afford insurance on the individual markets and have, you know, decent lifestyles, because it is a responsibility. We need thoughtful government policy. We also need a culture that takes care of people and decides to share more and incentives to do so. And I think we're going to make some change beginning on November 6th, and that's my big hope.
All right, that's what all of us food people want. We want sharing, we want a table, we want healthy citizens. I am wishing you every happiness. You're having a big picnic September 15th.
September 15th, it's the Everyone's Invited Picnic at Excelsior Commons Park from 12 to 4 p.m. September 15th, we're going to have fun and games and food and entertainment and music. And it is the overarching mission of my campaign, our slogan, which is really an ethos. It's everyone's invited. I don't care if people are Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, anything in between. I want to talk. I want to listen. I want to learn. That's why I love the State Fair. I've got a booth here. I've learned more in the past week from listening to people than you could possibly imagine. And it's joyful. So come on out to the Excelsior Commons Park on September 15th. And if I might just do a little shout out to my eldest daughter, Daniela, 20 years old, is off to Barcelona in about 1 hour for a semester. She's a big fan of yours. She's a foodie. She helped get our Pennies project off the ground. And she's the next generation of foodies that we're talking about.
Oh, that's a good thing. I just wrote a little thing for Delta Sky magazine on the Boqueria, the fancy market in the heart of Barcelona. And you go and you think, like, you people make great ham. And that is a great connection between Minnesota and Spain. We're all making good ham.
From Bloomington to Barcelona.
All right, congrats to her. And thank you for coming down.
Thank you, Dara, so much.
All right, this will be all up on the podcast. We'll talk about this more. When we come back, we're going to have some more stars of the state fair. I am so here. Oh, I put a bunch of pulled pork in my mouth before I got on the microphone here. All right, so that was really fun talking to Dean Phillips. I think this is going to be, I really hope this is a way we can kind of shift conversation. I'm so tired of talking about the same things. I want to talk about new things. I want to talk about all of the entrepreneurs I know who would be sort of unchained if they had health insurance in a you know, more equitable way. Ugh. And I got nothing else to do is talk about how terrible COBRA is. Anybody ever face that where you got to pay $1 billion to keep your kids okay? All right. Totally switching topics. I got something new on top of something new. Mama D's is the sensation up in the Midtown Global Market stand at the International Bazaar. It is run by Destiny. Destiny has had a long day already, and she's brought all of these great samples here to the fair. People are trying the barbecue pork split, the BBQ split. So this is like in a little cute banana, a banana split boat, barbecue pulled pork, mac and cheese, coleslaw, with a little pickled spear. It's very adorable. Destiny, welcome to the show.
Mark, how are you today?
I'm so happy you're here. All right, tell me, this is a big deal. You've got your first state fair booth, right?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Tell me about, how did you get to cooking?
Oh, I've been cooking all my life. I grew up and down the South. And when most kids were out playing, I was in the kitchen watching how grandma was making things because I love to eat.
Oh.
Yeah, so then I started, when I moved to Minnesota, I opened and started doing catering. And one of the individuals that I met was like, so do you have a big permanent location? Do you have a restaurant? And I said, no, I don't have any of those things. And she was like, you need to get that. People need to be able to taste this other than just being able to order it through catering. So from there, I ended up getting a space inside of the Midtown Global Market in South Minneapolis, where we're located. And an opportunity to be in the state fair came up. So they tried my food, they liked it, and I'm here.
It's a big undertaking. Thousands and thousands of people lining up every day. How did you come up with the idea for the barbecue split boat, put barbecue, mac and cheese in a cute little banana split thing?
Well, you know, when they came to taste my food, they liked so many options. And I was like thinking, what could I do to put as many other options as they wanted and still be able to make a concept that customers would want to come and eat? And that was it. It was my pulled pork sandwich that they had tried with a side of mac and cheese. So I put that together and made that.
It's a good idea. So I think you're the only person who's ever had soul food at the state fair. It's not. It's been a glaring omission. Is that what you're hearing? People are coming up to you to say?
Yeah, they're saying, oh my God, this is great. We're so glad you got in. I hope you never leave. I was like, well, I don't know what happens after this. I'm just doing it day by day and hoping and praying that, you know, I do get in my own space one day permanently for all 12 days. But I'll take the 6 days that I have now and do the best that I can with the clients and customers that do come in. So I'm just going for it.
All right. Everybody who's here, go on up to International Bazaar. See Mama D's. See Destiny. See this barbecue boat. Also, if you're in the neighborhood, stop by Midtown Global Market all the time. She's there. Destiny, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to some people that are farmers. Gary Wordish, the president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we will have more on Off the Menu. Ah, Dara here. All right, the State Fair is feeling fantastic. It is warm. It is beautiful out here. I have Hank Hanton here. I've never spoken to. Been running Shanghai at Henry's for 30 years. Thank you for coming down.
Thanks, Dara. Great to be here. Appreciate it.
All right, I'm going straight to the heart of it all. What are your secrets? How do you make this, keep this going for 30 years?
Well, we were fortunate enough to be awarded the contract, and we've gone out and just, we were first were the International Grill and Beer Garden, and then 10 years ago when they knocked down the bazaar and rebuilt it, we turned into Shanghai Henry's, and we just have been having fun out here. It's 12 great days of fun. We make up food and have a ball.
You have these smoked Gouda nachos you're giving out to the crowd, so we're very grateful. Everybody give a big thank you to Hank here. How do you come up with these ideas? You spend all winter coming up with them?
Well, we mostly do, and we experiment over the winter with different things, find different countries for international tacos, like we have our Korean barbecue taco, we've got our Oslo taco, and we've got our Yucatan taco, and we just kind of make them up over the years and really reject probably 10 to 12 items before we can come up with a new item that we're satisfied with.
All right, so give me a business insider's tip to making it work here at the fair, because I feel like you hold all the secrets.
Well, I wish I had all the secrets. It's really coming up with a new and unique and quality item. You know, and today it's really changed. You really need fresh products. We start out with all fresh products, locally sourced. Salsalisa is someone we use as well, and local meats. So everything's fresh, and you have to have a fresh product quality product. And, you know how much it's changed over 30 years from the food out here to what it is today. It's become a foodie type of venue here.
Yeah, there used to be a lot more just like dump out of a Cisco bag into a fryer and call it a day.
Right.
That doesn't fly anymore. It's more competitive.
If it wasn't frozen and in a box, they didn't serve it.
All right. Well, Hank from Shanghai Henry's, I am really grateful for you for coming down and sharing your stuff. Everybody, if you don't know, it's like you go into the International Bazaar, and then Summit on a Stick is to one side, and Shanghai Henry's right there. You always get the good beers, too.
Right. Well, this year, as in every year, Summit brews up a special beer that's only available at the Minnesota State Fair, so you have 3.5 more days to taste Hellas Yeah, You Betcha. It's a wonderful light lager, a Sessions beer, and that's available at Shanghai Henry's and the Summit on a Stick booth at the International Bazaar.
And it's one of the top-rated beers. People aren't... I feel like we don't want to talk about the crazy beers anymore. We only want the good beers, and you got one of them. So.
Right, no gimmicks, just great beer.
All right, Hank Hanson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Derek.
Now we're going to turn our attention to a couple of farmers, Gary and Marshall. So Gary is Gary Wordish is the president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, and Marshall Paulson is a chef of the Birchwood Cafe. You guys collaborated for one of my favorite foods of the year. Let's talk about farming. Gary, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Dara. You know, we formed a collaboration with Birchwood to bring fresh foods to the fair, and the reason we did that because Birchwood sources everything direct from farms, and Farmers Union, we've been around since the early 1900s and been at the State Fair here since 1953, and since that time, from 53 to now, we're so many generations removed from the farm, so we use this as an opportunity to educate about farms.
All right, educate me about farms. What are the top issues facing farmers today? Because this is what I ask people all the time, and I think I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to hold my cards secret. What are they? What are the top issues facing the farmers right now?
Well, the biggest thing is the low prices, the profitability on the farm, and on top of that, it's health care, the high cost of health care. That's two issues that are really hitting the farmers
hard. The high cost of health care, exactly. That's what I thought you were going to say. So it's a low commodity prices, and then that's driven by so many things. Like, it's hard to untangle. It is other countries propping up their trade policies. It's high cost of petrochemicals. It's high cost of real estate of farms in this country versus other countries. And then health care. You can't have sick farmers. Farmers do dangerous work.
Well, you do dangerous work, and in the rural communities, it's hard. You know, you're farther away from the metro here, and it's very important. You know, it's just an issue with the low prices. You know, you get hit with that high cost of health care, the insurance premiums, and the high deductibles. It's just not sustainable.
it's not sustainable. And it has been, you know, as long as I've been in this industry, it has been kind of driving towards this one place where some things have got to change.
Well, they do. We really need to take the politics out of it. We need to, instead of just running campaigns to get elected, we need to actually sit down and work on the problem and address it and not just campaign on the issue.
All right. Now let's go to the fun stuff, the cherry on the sundae. Marshall Paulson, you had the fun task of trying to take Minnesota farm produce and grains at the height of the season and turn them into something tasty.
We do it all the time. We're used to it.
You did it all the time. You're used to it. All right, so BLT was your solution this year.
Yeah, well, it's actually the same BLT that's been on our menu for years. The only big
but
difference
not
is...
not at the state fair. It wasn't
not
here.
Not at the state fair. We had to figure out how to do it here, which was totally different. So I think the biggest change from how we do it here versus at the restaurant is the bread and how we got the bread made. So I teamed up with Steve Horton at Bakersfield, and he came up with a good focaccia for us to feature Kernza. And to do it in a way that we can ship
it
easily. So
Kernza, we've had Kernza people on the show. Kernza is this perennial wheat. That means you plant it once and then you harvest it for a long time, just like you plant an apple tree once and you harvest it for a long time. And a lot of people are really interested in it because it's no-till agriculture. It helps prevent erosion. It's got some, and you're basically doing a demonstration like, hey, and it tastes good too.
Yeah, and we've been working with it for about 6 or 7 years now. Just doing all sorts of different stuff with it and trying to use it as best we can and get used to using it and show people that it's usable and delicious.
And it is. I think that I haven't been able to ask you this, but how do you manage your tomato situation? I feel like it would be really hard to get tomatoes to be ripe,
well,
like 5,000 a day.
An hour ago, I met Jack Hedin from Featherstone in the alley about 3 blocks away from the fair with two big wagons and... just lowered them right into the wagons and shipped them in. I've been getting stamps all over my arm. They're kind of like permanently stained just from going in and out, bringing in tomatoes and bacon and buckets of cobbler and chipotle, all of it. So just...
Oh, funny. All right. So
we ended up going over a little over a ton of heirloom tomatoes. So about 2,400 pounds.
A day or the whole fair?
The whole fair.
Oh, so that's all? One
same,
ton of tomatoes?
Same with bacon, 2,500 pounds.
Equivalent amounts of bacon?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Okay. You lose half the weight when you cook it, too, the fat.
So what have you learned about, you work pretty closely with farmers. What have you learned as a chef working with farmers at the Farmers Union here?
I don't know. I guess the fun thing to figure out is that every farmer has different systems, different delivery days, different needs as far as communication. So it's not like a simple, U.S. Foods phone call, and then they show up at 3 a.m. with everything you need. I'm emailing with one of them. I'm phone call with a different one, texting with a different one. Some of them can be here on Tuesdays. Some of them can't be here till after 6:30. That kind of thing. So figuring that out is a kind of a fun challenge, and I'm learning. I've always kind of...
So farmers in the specific as opposed to
farmers all,
the general concept. There's no one farmer's phone number, no one farmer's schedule.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so Gary, I'm going to give you the last bit of the show. So people are increasingly far from the farm, right? That's what we've accepted.
Yeah, they are. You go back, like I said earlier, in 53 when we... first had our building, I started at the Minnesota State Fair. Everybody was well connected to the farm, but now we're so many generations removed from the farm. So it is important to talk about agriculture, to talk about, everybody needs to eat. They need to know where their food comes in and the important role of farmers in our food system.
Yeah, we have an amount of illiteracy about farming that is just really alarming. I mean, for one thing, I think a lot of people don't even realize that there are individual farmers that are doing this for us. They're making our food. They're getting it. They're planting it. They're planning ahead so that we can eat in 6 months, And then also people don't understand pollinators and how the pollinators make apples happen. I love that you have the Farmers Union booth and you're there kind of, feet on the ground, making this communication happen. Because there's so much that has to do so that people can understand where our food comes from.
Well, that's very true. Like I said earlier, everybody needs to eat. So it is important. It is a complex system, and one thing affects the other, but it's it's a very important part of our overall economy and very important.
And has the Farmers Union booth growing at the state fair, you know, has that been part of your mission? Has that been helpful? I've noticed it's much better this year. It's quite nice.
Yeah, we did a major upgrade, major renovation this year. So we think we hope to be set up to run for another, you know, maybe it won't be another 50 years, but we should be set up to run for a long time. And, you know, our roots go back to the early 1900s, and, we're going to be here we plan on being here a long time in the future.
All right. Well, everybody should go up to the Minnesota Farmers Union booth. You should talk to a farmer. You should get a BLT. And thank you guys so much for coming down.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for us. Next week, we're back in the studio. I really appreciate you coming with me on our state fair journey. And I hope that all of your corn dogs are just perfect for you this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.